Chapter 19. Belfan's Gambit. Tensat lurked in the crowd. The Raven Guard weren't the only ones in the subsystem with infiltration skills. The compact omnispecs dragging at his pocket would give him away if he were challenged, but he wouldn't be. He hid the device's weight with a stoop and a limp, suggestive of an old industrial injury. There were many shift workers with genuine disabilities in the crowds. He looked like any other. That afternoon, there were two traditions to be upheld, one new, one old, bringing the 12-week cycle of salvation to a close. At the 13th striking of the clock, as the Kiavarans reckoned it, the guild representative would emerge from the marble balcony of the old guildhouse to give the traditional blessing of the technocracy. This was the tradition. After a short dry speech, he would put on his best false smile and renew Kiavar's oaths of fealty to the Mechanicum and to the Emperor. The price is paid for influence, thought Tensat. For all their grumbling and their subordination to the Mechanicum, the tech guilds were still powerful. Tensat had mixed feelings about the ceremony. Being of middling rank tech guild stock himself, it rankled to see his people reduced. But although he tried his best to hide it, Tensat was an honourable man, and the histories taught him at the Scolum of the Lycean prison moon had curdled his blood. The tech guilds deserved what they got. Personally, he felt he did not deserve to suffer for his ancestors' wrongs, but that was what the Lyceans had endured before the coming of the Primarch. Justice delivered, of a kind. Life could not be perfect. Solutions invariably begat fresh problems. Good men were never as good as they maintained. Life went on, and he was determined to preserve the peace. Nevertheless, he was, in his most private thoughts, sceptical of the Great Crusade. Pantomimes like this did not help.
Concentrate.
The Procurator Mechanical's machine grating emanated from a vox speed buried deep in his ear.
I am, he subvocalized. This is me concentrating.
Your brainwaves suggest otherwise.
There are people who would call me a traitor for speaking with you, Tensat said.
There are other people who would call you a traitor for defying these assassins, said the Procurator Mechanical. We all must pick our sides.
We're all on the same side, aren't we?
Concentrate,
repeated the Procurator Mechanical snappishly. Tensat grinned. The promise of rain was no deterrence to the large crowd gathered in the square ready for the ceremony. A heavy security presence of enforcers and the Mechanicum's army allayed fears of a repeat of the Salvation Day bombing. The trick for Tensat had been to make the security look lax enough to be tempting to the terrorists, without revealing it to be deliberately lax. It was a difficult balance that kept Tensat awake for a week, and his nerves were still frayed. He held his gaze forward, trying not to look at all the possible sniper's nests he'd identified around the old guildhouse was a trial. The guildhouse clock ticked its way towards the 13th hour. Mechanical figures capered out of plasteel doors either side of the face. They were marvellous devices, forged in a greater era, but they reminded Tensat of the terrifying folk tales his father had told him of the days of the Dark Ages, when mankind's slaves turned upon them. Looking back on it, Tensat thought his old man had enjoyed frightening him. A fanfare announced the guild representative. He came out onto the balcony at a speed he probably thought of as regal, but which Tensat thought made him look doddering. He bestowed a wave and a smile upon the crowd. There were a few half-hearted cheers. Most of the people there couldn't care less about the speech and were waiting for the traditional handouts that came at the close of the ceremony. Tensat couldn't blame them.
Don't come any further out, Tensat muttered under his breath.
The representative was too close to the edge of the balcony, leaning out to wave at more of his supposedly adoring public. He was supposed to stay near the back.
Why are you agitated?
Asked the procurator.
He's making it easy for them, subvocalized Tensat. My ideal conclusion to today is an alive representative and a dead rebel.
My dear fellow citizens, began the representative, it is 32 Terran years since the Emperor came here. and the great savior, Corvus Corax, brought freedom to all of our people from the old order.
A ragged cheer went up. The proletariat were poorly educated, but some of them were aware of how little things had changed, and dared to stare bleakly at their better, who, despite the Primarch's ideals, remained in power. Rain began to fall.
The populace of Kievar and of Deliverance stand united as part of the greater Imperium of Man. It is my privilege to appear here today, as your guild representative, to commemorate this momentous occasion in our history. The injustices of the past are over. Together, we look forward to a glorious shared future within the Imperium, and in partnership with our friends of the Mechanicum of Mars. The centuries have given mankind many tragedies to overcome.
Later, Tenset reflected that the assassin had a sick sense of humour, timing her gunshot then. A single crack troubled the air. The guild representative was enveloped in the flare of light from a refractor field. It did him little good. He fell dead with a neat hole drilled through his forehead. Armed guild troops sprang from their hiding places and began to blaze away at whatever caught their eye. Innocent people died. The crowd scattered. Tensat employed a few choice curse words.
"This is Tensat! Stop firing into the crowd!"
he voxed openly. He abandoned his disguise, setting his shoulder against the flow of people. He held his ground as fleeing workers slammed into him, wincing at every one of tomorrow's bruises.
"They used a shield piercer. Where did they get that? Who the hell are these people?"
shouted Tensat. He pulled out his omnispecs. The readings pointed him to a building half a kilometre away. He stared around it wildly, seeking the location of the shooter.
"I have the assassin's location, if it is of use," said the procurator.
"Give it to me," said Tensat. He turned and joined the flow of people running towards enforcer transports, skidding into the square.
"She is fleeing west along Recatalization Way in a ground car," said the procurator.
Tensat pulled out his badge and ran at a junior-level enforcer skimming down to ground level on a grav bike.
"I'm going to need this,"
he said, half-pulling the man from his seat. Armoured enforcers were pouring out of the vehicles. For fear of alerting the assassin, Tensat had told them nothing about the true nature of the operation, and they were charging about ineffectually, arresting people at random, bursting into buildings and charging upstairs, unaware that the killer was long gone. He had to act now. In a few moments, Mechanicum forces would arrive to add their firepower and misunderstanding to that of the guild troops and the enforcers, with all the arguing over jurisdiction and responsibility that would entail. Tensat gunned the engine, setting the grav motor to maximum repulsion, and pushed up into the sky, the sudden acceleration squashing him into the padded saddle.
"Give me a direct trace on her, procurator,"
shouted Tensat over the blast of wind. The picked screen embedded in the bike fairing blinked on, and the procurator mechanical used some technological witchery to display a cartograph for Tensat. A pulsing red dot was dashing along the lines of streets, jinking dangerously between slower-moving traffic. Tensat banked the bike around. The powerful repeller accelerated him to several hundred kilometres an hour. He dived down between the metal canyons of Kievar's surface, polluted rain stinging his eyes as he searched out the assassin's car. He nearly overshot as the car slewed wildly into a side street. He had a brief flash of a figure tumbling from the driver's compartment and sprinting away. The rain was coming down hard now, soaking Tensat's disguise in metal-scented water. His skin tingled, and his eyes stung at the touch of the toxic downpour. He should seek shelter. He threw the grav bike into reverse, clinging on to avoid being hurled over the control column. It rebelled at the sudden deceleration, forcing him to wrestle hard to bring it round. The stabilizer fins raked on the facade of a tenement block, and the machine rolled to the left, but by then he was slowing. He circled down, punched the landing gear button, and set the craft down next to the ground car. Greasy raindrops slapped into his hair. The few people on the street were hurrying into building overhangs to escape the rain. Chemical reek burned his throat as he ran.
"She's still half up,"
he voxed.
"A door into a silo cellar 200 metres from your position."
Tensat ran. Puddles grew quickly in the rain. The rockcrete was slippery underfoot. He drew his gun, the sight of it making people sheltering along the edges of the alleyway shrink back. The assassin had left the door open. He slowed, his gun in a two-handed grip. He moved quickly on the door and went through, gun up to cover both sides, sweeping left to right, knowing full well that if the killer was waiting on the wrong side, his decision not to go right to left would lead to his death. Nothing. A sloping corridor plunged down steeply beneath the silo. Tubby chemical reservoirs loomed overhead, closely ranked and imposing.
"Where is Beltham?"
"He is coming," said the procurator mechanical.
Tensat ducked back out and searched the sky. Dirty clouds rubbed against one another.
"I don't see anything."
"He told me he would be with you soon."
"He's bloody late! We should never have listened to him."
"This was a bad idea," said Tensat.
He paused. Rain drummed off his coat.
"I'm going after her."
"I advise you to wait," said the procurator.
"If you were here instead of me, then you would get to make that decision. But you aren't."
Tensat ran into the tunnel, gun ahead of him, heart thumping. The tunnel went downward quickly, turning back on itself in a series of descending switchbacks that Tensat approached with adrenalized caution. The lights flickered there. Power was inconstant. He was going into the Undercity, a place enforcers avoided outside of purgation sweeps. Alone, he was in danger.
"Enforcer Tensat,"
the procurator mechanical's voice buzzed in his ears.
"I'm losing your trace. You are engaging in perilous decision-making. Stop and wait for backup. Beltham is on his way. Let him apprehend the suspect."
"Not now,"
gasped Tensat. The procurator's voice broke up as he headed deeper into the Undercity. He rounded another corner. A woman was there, suddenly facing him. She was a bit younger than him, with poorly chopped hair and a face of a type he found attractive. They stared at each other in shock a moment, until she loosed a shot at him. He ducked, she missed, and ran off. Tensat followed. The corridor bottomed out there into a large, low-roofed space, full of support pistons for the city above. It was a good place for an ambush. The assassin dodged between the supports. He shot three times, his lasbolts picking molten holes in the metal. She reached the wall and skidded off to the right to barge through a sheet plasteel door, sending it booming into the dusty rockcrete walls. Tensat snapped off another shot. The laspulse lit up the dark with a flicker-blink ruby glare that imprinted itself on his retinas. Dazzled, he nearly missed the opening, but stumbled through onto the head of a short flight of stairs. A return slug shot singed up the stairway, breaking powder from the wall. If the woman had stopped then, she might have dropped him with a second round before he recovered. But to Tensat's good fortune, she took to her heels again, the slap of her boots receding down the corridor at the foot of the flight, then skipping down another set of stairs. Tensat advanced quickly, but did not run. He kept his gun up. They were on the very fringes of the Undercity. No power ran in that part. Dying bioloom panels lit the corridor, the bacteria in them starving to death for want of nutrient replacement. Several were blotchy glows that illuminated only themselves. The rest gave off a green fungal light, more fitted to primeval forest floors. The passage at the foot of the stairs was short, the second stairway longer than the first. Tensat stepped downwards. His feet crunched in grit, fallen from the rotting walls. Black slime grew down the centre of water stains, streaking the grey rockcrete. It was getting hotter. He walked as quietly as he could, fearing that the thunder of his heart and his snatched breaths would give him away. He could no longer hear the sound of running. Either the woman had outpaced him, or she was waiting for him. The last step. He came off it softly, gun ready. The way ahead was straight, and even more dimly lit than the passageway above. The wall had given out, and rubble slumped into the corridor, a long time ago by the look of it. Tensat flattened himself against the wall and slid along to the pile of rockcrete chunks. "It will be now," he thought. He threw himself across the corridor. A bullet shaved his cheek. Tensat returned fire before he hit the opposite wall. Again, tracks of laslight streaked his vision. He hit the wall, let himself bounce from it and fall down, dropping into cover at the foot of the fan of rubble. He kept his gun trained down the corridor. His heart hammered louder than ever. If the woman had a grenade, he was dead. His vox beads crackled. The ghost of the procurator's voice hissed at him, but his words were unintelligible. The rockcrete there must have been thick to block Mechanicum comms. He'd gone deeper than he'd realized. After 4 minutes of lying in the dirt, he had had enough and got up. Nobody shot him. Tensat stepped over the rubble. A dark shape lay in the dimness ahead, where the corridor opened out into a wide pipe. A heavy door had once closed the corridor off from the pipe, but only the surround was still in place. The control panel to operate it was a rusty hole sprouting wires, which dust had turned all the same colour. The woman lay in the intersection. A line of smoke spiralled from a wound in her chest. He'd hit her right in the heart.
"Don't move,"
he said, just in case. He kicked her foot. All signs of life had fled.
"I've got our assassin,"
he voxed. A broken jag of words blurted back at him.
"Procurator?"
He bent down to rifle through her pockets. Nothing. No identification. He had a suspicion her citizen ident tattoos would be missing or faked.
"Ghost," he said. "Who are you working for?"
"Me," said a voice from the shadows.
The muzzle of a pistol, cool in the warm environs of the Undercity, pressed against Tensat's temple.
"Drop your weapon. No one need die. Least of all you."
Tensat raised his hand slowly. He let his gun go. It swung around the trigger guard and fell to the floor. A foot kicked it away. Tensat strained his eyes sideways, but could not see who had him. There was a hand holding the gun, white from subterranean living. It was large. The rest of the man was lost in the dark.
"I'm not alone,"
warned Tensat. "Others are coming."
"I'm counting on it," said the man. "You're very brave coming down here on your own. Do you feel you've done your duty, Enforcer?"
Tensat pulled a face.
"When a killer who lurks in the dark engages with you like this, it's never for the sake of a chat," he said.
"Really?" said the man.
The gun pushed ever so slightly harder against Tensat's head. He felt the metal rub against the bone of his skull through the thin skin of his temple.
"Yes, really," said Tensat. "The usual reason for this kind of speech from someone like you is to gloat, and to exert power before you kill. Hope and despair season the meat of murder. This is your prelude. You can save it for someone who gives a damn."
"You think I'm going to kill you?"
"I'd say it was the most likely outcome," said Tensat,
surprised at how little he feared death.
"Maybe I'll get a posthumous medal."
"Whereas you are playing for time," said the man.
"I am," said Tensat. "You can't blame me, even though in a lot of these situations it doesn't do any good."
"Perhaps it has in yours," said the man.
Legionaries appeared from both directions of the drainage pipe, Belthan at their head. Their size alone should have made their approach obvious, but they had contrived to approach unobserved, even in their hulking warplate. Cynical though he was, Tensat couldn't help but be impressed.
"Hello, Belthan," said the voice.
A dozen guns trained on the speaker's location to the side of Tensat. He had almost enough faith in the prowess of the Legioners Astartes that they could gun the man down and not him.
"Do you remember me?" said the man.
"Eren," said Belthan.
"I remember you. Let the Enforcer go." "You do recognize me?"
Eren was genuinely pleased.
"I thought you might not, although we fought together for long enough."
He withdrew his gun from Tensat's head.
"Go on, Enforcer. I've no need of you now. You were wrong. Just remember that. I did not wish to kill you."
Tensat rubbed his head and walked over to Belthan. A residue of weapons oil clung to his face.
"You know him?" he asked.
He peered down the pipe. He still couldn't see his captor, although he was fairly sure he was looking right at him. Belthan sounded inhuman behind the hard lines of his helmet.
"He was a friend of mine once, a long time ago. Come out, Eren. There's nowhere to run."
"Who says I want to run?"
The shadows breathed, and out stepped a tall man who smiled at Belthan warmly. In the heat of the Undercity, he wore a short-sleeved tunic, revealing arms swollen with stimulated muscle growth. Despite his physical presence, He was nothing compared to the legionaries. He was 60 years old at least, and he looked it, the scuffs and wear of hard living adding to his age. His thinning hair was shaved down to a grey stubble. Crow's feet clawed at the corners of his eyes. Scars upon his face spoke of old wars. Erin's smile was a sick expression, half predatory, half desperate.
"Well, the years have been kinder to you than I," he said.
"You are behind all this," said Balthan.
"I am."
He held out his arms, wrists together.
"I am the Children of Deliverance. I have murdered a dozen guilders. I planned the bombing of the Saviour's Day parade. I ordered the assassination of the guild representative. I confess to all of these crimes, Balthan."
He smiled again.
"You better arrest me,"